All right, welcome to Making the Argument. Before we get started, I have a very important announcement. We have a brand new deal with GoodRanchers.com. That's right. If you go into Good Ranchers and you use promo code Nick and you sign up for one of their subscriptions, you're not only going to get $15 off, but do you remember the old deal where you got 2 pounds of ground beef with each order? Well, we just upped the game. That's right. You can choose top sirloin, salmon, chicken breast, or bacon now. Every single order you get on that subscription is going to come with free top sirloin, salmon, chicken breast, or bacon. You get to choose which one if you use promo code Nick. And again, $15 off on top of that. That's a savings of $480 in meat by signing up for one of those subscriptions. Not to mention the fact that if you are looking for a gift for someone that is impossible to shop for, you can go on to goodranchers.com and get one of their brand new gift boxes. Now, this is a limited time only offer. It's part of their overall Black Friday special. So go on to goodranchers.com to get more details. Sign up for promo code Nick in order to get that deal, and let's get on with the show.
One thing I've learned is this: in politics and in combat, cowardice is contagious, but so is courage. And if you're willing to be the first person over those ramparts, you will be shocked at how many people will come with you. I'm asking you to come with me. I'm asking you to be a part of the generation that will restore the promise of this country and breathe new life into it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining Making the Argument with Nick Freitas. Today, we have a very special guest. Congressman Nunes is with us today, former chair of the House Intelligence Committee. He has been through the ringer when it comes to calling out corruption, calling out problems that we've seen, not only with the way the media has actually covered a lot of the investigations we've seen from Mueller to the Trump impeachment. He has been on the front lines for all of us. And again, I can't thank you enough for being with us today, Congressman Nunes.
Well, Nick, thanks for having me, and thank you, number one, for stepping up to run. Hopefully I can be the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee again. And I want to thank all your listeners and all your supporters because we have a great shot to win this race back. And I like how you're communicating. You're going directly to the people. It's a very Virginia thing to do, you know, the home of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. So Nick, thank you so much. And call me Devin for the rest of this show. You don't have to like address me or anything.
Okay? No, thank you. It's an honor. I appreciate it. Let's get right into it. I know your time is limited. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like those first 2 years of the Trump administration being chair of the House Intelligence Committee and everything that you guys were going through at that time?
Well, you know, when you look back on it, it's really a sad chapter in U.S. history. I mean, a massive political scandal that actually started before Donald Trump was even sworn into office. You know, we now know that the investigation really started, we believe, in 2015, for sure by early 2016. We don't know exactly at what time the dirty operation that was run by the Clinton campaign. So this was the dirty oppo research. So they went out and essentially just made things up on the Trump campaign and Trump campaign associates. They paid people to do it. They paid foreigners. They supposedly went and got information directly from Russia, while at the same time they were claiming that the Trump campaign were the ones colluding with Russians. Mm-hmm. And the reality, it was them. They were doing it. They made up the whole story. So at some point, that Clinton investigation becomes merged with the FBI DOJ investigation. We still don't know the answers as to when that started, but that's all going on in 2016. I'm chair of the Intelligence Committee at the time. And at the time, ironically, I'm criticizing the Obama administration because they've done absolutely nothing to rein in Russia. This is at the time they had annexed Ukraine. They were playing games in Turkey or in Syria, Libya. All over the globe, and they continue to make us look like fools. You know, the United States, the most powerful military in the world, and, you know, the Russians were able to send in a few thousand troops, and we didn't even know they were coming.
Yeah.
And when you look back on that, I went out and stated as chairman of the Intelligence Committee at the time that this was the biggest intelligence failure since 9/11, 2001, was our failure to understand Putin's plans and intentions, which really is the key to having a good intelligence apparatus. We have 17 different agencies in the United States of America, and you're supposed to protect the United States, and we're supposed to have good intelligence as policymakers. So it was an abject failure by any measurement that had went on for year after year after year. And we in the House Intelligence Committee, we continued to fund try to get them to spend money to really analyze the threats, and they refuse to spend that money. So fast forward, you can imagine after Trump does the impossible and he actually wins, people started saying, well, oh my gosh, Trump, Russia, colluding with Russia. So after this election, I'm saying, what in the hell are you guys talking about? five months ago, I was sitting here saying you guys didn't have anything. So how can you all of a sudden brief us right after the election that, the Russians did their normal thing? Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure, I have to say this all the time, because the Democrats and the media pretend like this was something that was new, that had never happened before.
Yeah.
And in fact, all the countries do it to some degree. The Russians for sure do it. Before that, the Soviet Union, the KGB, they're all involved in this. I mean, that's why we have 17 agencies, mm-hmm. is because we have that to make sure we're monitoring these other countries so that they don't attack us or other countries, so that we can inform, that we can stay, keep our allies informed. So the fact that the Russians would be doing something nefarious in our election is not an issue, because it always happens.
Well,
okay? They always do it. It's totally normal. So, you fast forward and all of a sudden they say, oh, everything was normal. It happened. The Russians did what we expected them to do, to just a few weeks later. So this is in December, what I call Obama's dossier. Mm-hmm. They put together this intelligence community assessment in December that said, oh, the Russians were trying to help Trump. Why did they do that? They did that to support the Clinton campaign and the media's campaign to dirty up the Trump campaign, mm-hmm. which was really an October surprise. And we now know they were actually spying on the campaign. I mean, really just destroyed the intelligence services in this country, so much so that most Republicans, and I think a lot of independents, are losing trust mm-hmm. in our intelligence services, for sure in the FBI and the Department of Justice. But, I'm hopeful that these investigations that are ongoing now, that people will be held accountable. And Nick, I'll tell you, that's why it's so important that you get elected. We have to get control of the gavel back, because, I could have been subpoenaing a lot of people mm-hmm. with all the information we have now. We're trying to run an investigation really with, two arms tied behind our back because we don't have subpoena power. And the House Intelligence Committee has been turned into what was once a very bipartisan committee, mm-hmm. Has been turned into the House Impeachment Committee.
Yeah.
It's where everything impeachment goes. They come up with new conspiracy theories all the time. They say things like, well, if you just knew the information we knew, mainstream media, you know that Trump has to be impeached. How many times have we heard that over and over again?
Yeah.
So it's really just a very frustrating time, I think, for most Americans. But, we're very, very hopeful that Virginia comes back into the fold and we pick up a couple seats in Virginia, because we just picked up a seat here in California just a few weeks ago. So with good candidates like yourself, we've got a real shot.
No, I appreciate it. And you bring up a good point too, because the media, I mean, one of the things that the media is supposed to do, the free press is supposed to do in a free society, is to actually ask good, poignant, objective questions. And if you look at the way the media covered when you were chairman, and you were actually pointing out some of the corrupt things that were going on in the previous administration, some of the problems with the dossiers that were being pushed out, the collusion between the campaign and the government to target a political opponent, the media didn't care about any of that. All they cared about was, well, how did you get that information? But then, just to your point, you have Adam Schiff out there, putting out all this intel, saying things like, well, if you only knew what we knew, definitely we'd have to impeach. And all the media cared about then is whatever Adam Schiff was putting out. And I think it's so destructive to our political discourse when the media is so clearly picking sides and tried to vilify and demonize you for bringing out information that, oh, by the way, was completely factual. And time has shown that. So what was that like, just dealing with the media coverage?
Well, you bring up something that I've been really harping on now for the last few years. And that is that people need to understand what's really behind. You have to pull back the curtain just a little bit. So whenever you get a call from someone in the media, or someone sends you a message via whatever social media outlet that you use, as somebody that's either running for office or who's in an elected office, or even I would say that's in the administration. Mm-hmm. But as Republicans or as conservatives or independents, we have to understand that there's no free and fair media left for the most part in this country. It's ceased to exist. Mm-hmm. You know, it started really, you know, 2 decades ago. It's always been left wing. You know, I mean, so you know, most people that go into to the media, this is, you know, this has been shown over time and time again. Yeah. 90% of the people that are journalists vote for the Democrats. Now, that's been the case for a very long time. But what's happened over the course of the last 20 years, and it's been sped up by what I call the tech oligarchs and the tech tyranny. So it's Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube, Twitter. Now they're actually helping to develop and shape that content and what you can actually see. And then you have the collapse of what I call the legacy media companies. You know, there's these models, these old models don't work anymore because, well, for the same reason you're doing this show, the same reason I have a podcast that I do at least once a week, if not more times a week, is because we want to be able to be unfiltered, to get directly to our constituents or the American people or people around the globe with real information that's actually coming so you can see and hear directly from us, Nick. And I think it's so critical. So you just, everything that I look at now, well, number one, there's very few websites that I will actually click onto. Okay. So the mainstream media, I don't click and have not clicked on their garbage for 3.5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't respond to them. I don't acknowledge that they're actually a news outlet. Mm-hmm. All right. So when I get, and people have probably seen this, you know, on you know, different outlets, but you know, if they come up to me and try to ask me a question, I don't acknowledge them because you can't even be in a position to say, you know, because if you say no comment, then they, what do they say? They say, oh, Nick refused to comment.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad, 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 bad Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he refused to comment. He must be guilty. So you can't even do that. You have to understand that if you're going to talk to these people, know what you're getting into. It's like just walking through the front of the Democratic National Committee, opening the door, walking in and sitting there and taking questions like you're a deposition with a bunch of well-trained lawyers with you know, that are trying to create a narrative.
Yeah.
You have to understand that, okay? And you have to look at who you're going to talk to and why you're going to talk to them. And I'm very, very careful now. And what I've said to all of these, some of these people I've known my whole career, and you know, I know they're left wing and Democrats, and I think they're generally okay. I think they're generally good people. But you know, I've told them, look, until you take down all of your fake news stories and apologize to me, I'm not acknowledging you as like a part of the press. I'm acknowledging you as part of the Democratic National Committee, because that's what you are. And so I strongly encourage all the candidates that are out there to do what you're doing, just go directly to the people so that you can't be filtered through someone's first, their political ideology and whatever, you know, fake news media company that they're working for, which, by the way, are mostly owned by hardcore Democrats, left wingers, Amazon, for example, that owns the Washington Post. Okay. That's just one example. And then you're getting filtered by Twitter, Facebook, whatever, what actually they can see. So there's very little upside for any Republican candidates to talk to, you know, to talk to the Democratic National Committee controlled media. And I think every candidate's got to make that, you know, in your own district, analyze who's connected to them, who are just, you know, doing the bidding of the Democratic National Committee or other operatives, right? I mean, there's other operatives like a Fusion GPS that was, you know, that targeted me. You know, because operatives are after you, you know, so I mean, that's, you know, people pay operatives to get opposition research, which is fine. I mean, that happens in political campaigns. But the challenge is when they get into defamation, slander, libel, and then they plant it with your local media outlets, right, or the big mainstream media outlets. You'll probably, because you're so close to Washington, Nick, you'll probably be covered by the Washington Post would be my guess. So you've got to be very, very careful, very sensitive, because all they're looking to do is smear you And they'll make it look like it's actual news, but it's not. So anyway, that's kind of my quick take on the media.
No, I think that's great. And I think one of the things that the media's complete lack of objectivity and their willingness to just believe and trash any Republican they see and their complete willingness to give a pass to anything that comes out of the left has also contributed to the sort of environment that we see within the government agencies under the Obama administration where and again, it's not rank and file intelligence officers. It's not rank and file law enforcement. I still have a great deal of faith in those people that put on the uniform and serve the country. But when you start looking at the political appointees, it's almost as if they have just no problem with using the power that they have, that they've been granted ultimately by the people and the Constitution, in order to turn some of these agencies into weapons against political opponents. And if the press isn't, not only does the press not hold them accountable, the press rewards them for doing so. And I just look at how they are damaging these institutions that I think the American people have a right to be able to depend on.
Yeah, so the way that I always couch this is you have the socialist democratic press that's effectively operating out of the DNC or that atmosphere, right? Between the super PACs that are out there. I mean, look, you're going to get hit by super PACs. Yeah. They're going to come in and attack you. You know that. Mm-hmm. So you've got the super PACs, the DNC, and then the socialist democratic media. What they did in 2015 and 16 is, you know, they infiltrated the highest levels of our intelligence services, really is what happened. And sadly, there's not too many people, even though they know better. I think a lot of these professionals know that they shouldn't have been doing this. Mm-hmm. They know they should have come to us. And I will say, you know, if it wasn't for some brave Americans that were within those services that became informants to my committee, you know, despite what the fake news is written, the way that we actually discovered the unmaskings that were occurring. So this is where they were taking intelligence reports that were, you know, not supposed to be used to target Americans. So those Americans are redacted or blacked out so that you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. Well, what the Obama administration started doing is they just started figuring out who are those Americans, who are those companies, who are those Trump transition officials.
Yeah.
But it was very brave people within the intelligence agencies that first brought that to the U.S. Congress. And we're very, very thankful because I think, you know, if it wouldn't have been for those few brave Americans that came forward, we wouldn't have discovered what their counterparts and bosses and hierarchy were actually doing.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think you're, so it's really a combination of both the peer pressure that they put on the rank and file. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to really raise your head because number one, they'll leak your name to the media.
Yeah.
Okay. With the socialist democratic controlled media, and you're never going to get promoted. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in that bubble in Washington, D.C., it's why we're making small steps. The Trump administration is to moving. We need to move the bureaucracy out of the D.C. Area.
Yeah.
It's just become too big, too bloated, and it's essentially just becoming a left-wing city state by which, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that was ever the intent of your great Virginians, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, and of course, all the other founding fathers.
Yeah, no, I it is really a privilege to serve in the Virginia legislature and now to run for Congress. I actually represent James Madison's district in the House of Delegates. And so I always tease my constituents that, you know, we started off with James Madison and now you got me. So we've gone down a little bit, but I'm doing my best.
So what is that? That goes down from, does your district go all the way down, currently go all the way down to Charlottesville then?
No, it's just north of that. So Rob Bell's got Jefferson's district and then I've got Montpelier in Orange County, Virginia. So I have Culpeper, Orange and Madison counties. And, it's always a privilege to be able to go to Montpelier as the representative for that area. And you're right. When you are representing an area like that, you're very cognizant of the fact of the people that have come before you. And again, it's been a tremendous honor. But yeah, we are doing our best to get up there and join you in D.C. right now. And you know, I'll leave on one final point because I know your time is very valuable. One of the things that frustrated me about the current incumbent for the 7th District, Abigail Spanberger, who on a personal level is a very nice person, but when she decided to vote for impeachment and she looked at what was going on, she used her credentials as a former CIA officer. And that was fascinating to me because my last job in the military was a special forces intel sergeant. That's what I served in my last tour in Iraq in 2008. And if you had handed me an intelligence packet, the same one that she had, if you had handed me an intelligence packet where all of my information was based off of hearsay, I didn't have one direct witness that could actually report to any sort of criminal activity, we never would have launched on a low-level target with the sort of garbage information that was being used. And yet she tried to use her credentials as a former CIA operative to say that was good intelligence to essentially overthrow a legal election for the president of the United States. And I cannot stand it when people try to use, again, the good service that they rendered to the country within the military, within the intelligence community, in order to justify horrible decisions that they never would have approved if they had to actually put people in harm's way. And yet, you know, overthrowing a U.S. election just didn't seem to be any big deal to her. And that's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible waste of time.
Yeah.
First of all, the president of the United States has continued to have this problem of his conversations that are by nature classified and private, where the leaders of our nations have to be able to communicate, of our country communicating with our allies and our adversaries. Mm-hmm. They have to have some type of comfort level that those conversations are going to be private. I mean, for God's sakes, they're trying to, you know, we're trying to avoid war. We're trying to avoid having to send guys like you into the battle space. And, you know, Donald Trump has made that, you know, really a part of his presidency, is trying to bring down the temperature in these conflicts. Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine how hard it is, and you know, as former chairman of the Intelligence Committee and as the top Republican now, I meet with leaders from countries, you know, when we're not in a shutdown mode and during the time of the virus, I would meet with ambassadors, intelligence officials, foreign ministers. When I go overseas, I would meet with the prime ministers and presidents of these countries, and for the last few years, the continual question is. Look, I want to be a little careful what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know if I should have my prime minister or my president talk directly to your president, because we don't want it in the pages of the Amazon Washington Post.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just one or two times. This is nearly every single leader that I talk to in foreign countries at almost every level, right? Because my main interaction is with, you know, either their intelligence or military areas of government, mm-hmm. right? Those are the people that I usually interact with. And, you know, and they'll ask me questions like, look, should we be sending our prime minister, our foreign minister, to meet with whoever it may be within the Trump administration? Because, you know, we don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
We don't want this all to leak out. And so you're right. People that are trying to use the cover or the imprimatur of these agencies to say, well, you really have to trust me because I was a whatever type of officer. It's not only very unhealthful for the United States as a whole and our people, but it also makes it very, very difficult for us to deal in a country that has or a world that has 200 different countries where we're all trying to work together, where we've got tyrants, dictators, mm-hmm. the problems with China. These are all big challenges. And, you know, it used to be that our intelligence services were not used for politics, and we never let our disagreements get involved where it would become a foreign problem. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of this impeachment being, you know, that the president of the United States was talking to the Ukrainian leader, and that would be a reason for impeachment, was just, you know, completely asinine. Number one, that it even leaked out his conversation, but two, you know, there was nothing wrong with it. Just like we look at. Yeah. You know, the whole idea that General Flynn, who you must have worked under, I'm guessing, at one time, or if you were in intelligence in Iraq, because I think he was, you know, he was in Iraq for a lot of his career during that time. You know, General Flynn, you now look at the transcript, he didn't even mention the word sanctions.
Yeah.
So what on earth could he have possibly been lying about? And these are this is the problem with the politicization of anything with intelligence. And we got to get back in this country to doing real intelligence work, getting all of our military and intelligence people out of politics. And that's going to take, you know, just to it's going to take guys like you Nick getting elected. We got to get rid of the people that are not there, that are there just for politics. We got to get people like you in that understand these problems and know we've got to fix it.
No, thank you. I didn't know General Flynn personally, but we definitely served at the same time. I remember when he took over the Defense Intelligence Agency, and one of his biggest priorities was to try to get, you know, those national level intelligence organizations refocused on direct support to the warfighter overseas. But it was amazing to watch what happened to General Flynn and how, you know, you would have, I've always assumed, and I've gotten over this assumption, obviously, but I've always assumed that there are certain things where we can look at people and say, you know what, we have a reasonable disagreements with respect to policy, but that's still a good person, that's still a patriot, that's still someone that loves their country. And I would have hoped that Joe Biden and the Obama administration, as much as they might not like the president, as much as they might not like General Flynn's politics, would have appreciated that this is someone that has dedicated his entire life to serving this country. And I've had people ask me, like, well, if he didn't do anything wrong, why is he in trouble? I'm like, you got to understand that when the full force of the federal government is coming after you and can keep you in court and can essentially bankrupt you, not because you did anything wrong that warranted the investigation in the first place, but because they tripped you up on a question. Now they're threatening you with perjury. And at some point you're thinking to yourself, my gosh, is it better to take the perjury charge, even if I don't believe I did it, or am I going to lose my house constantly fighting people in court? And that's the way that these organizations can be manipulated.
Well,
to take
they ran
good
what
people.
What they did is they ran General Flynn out of money.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of dollars. And I always just to ask people to take a step back.
Yeah.
And really look at this and you know, think about it. The idea that the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the former head, would be a Russian spy of any kind,
yeah,
would be the biggest scandal,
yeah,
of all scandals in centuries. You know, I can't think of another example where the highest person in defense intelligence, military defense intelligence across for any country in the last several hundred years has been a turncoat to their country. I mean, it would be such a scandal. It's unfathomable. And I'll just, you know, say this. General Flynn was a Democrat.
Yeah.
So people don't realize. In 2015, General Flynn came and briefed the Republicans on the committee. And you know what he told us? He was briefing at that time in 2015. He was briefing Democratic candidates for president and Republican candidates for president.
Wow.
In 2015.
Yeah.
It wasn't until 2016 that he got involved when Donald Trump asked him to come on and be a surrogate for his campaign. That was after the primary was already, you know, was basically already over and Donald Trump had won. It was at that point that General Flynn, who wasn't a Republican, got involved in politics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the FBI knew that. And you know, the dirty cops there that did this to him. I mean, it's, you know, if you're going to say that this is somebody who was, you know, the guy should have never been investigated in the first place. And it's a travesty that it would happen to anyone in the military, but especially someone like that who really is, you know, he's a modern day intelligence, military intelligence war hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the best officer in his generation in intelligence. And that's, you know, nobody disputes that.
Yeah. Well, again, Devin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. Can you tell us real quick about your podcast so we can direct people there,
sure,
as well?
Well, it's really creative. It's called The Devin Nunes Podcast. So
easy to search for.
So you can get it on iTunes, and we usually interview someone every Friday. Matter of fact, we just interviewed Larry Lindsey today, who's one of the world's top economists, on a day where things are
looking good.
You know, thank God, looking up.
Yeah.
We got unemployment going down, so hopefully people are getting back to work, and hopefully the violence and the riots and all of this stuff can stop, and so that we can get this country back on track and get our country back to what is unprecedented unemployment levels, where everybody in America has a job. It's a good thing. We need to get back to there.
Well, again, I want to thank you most of all for coming on and sharing your thoughts, your experience with us. I want to thank everybody for watching. Again, Congressman Devin Nunes, make sure you go and check out his podcast, The Devin Nunes Podcast. Again, he's giving you great information that, again, the press is never going to put out. And I've seen this on a microcosm just serving in the state legislature, where I will say one thing or do something, and then I'll watch it be reported, And the two just do not coincide whatsoever. So the fact that he's taking the time to actually go directly to the people and provide you this information, we highly encourage you to do that, to check that out. Again, the Devin Nunes podcast. Once again, we want to thank everybody for joining us today on Making the Argument. And again, Congressman, help is on the way from Virginia. Thank you for everything that you do, and I can't wait to get up there and serve with you.
Hey, Nick, thanks a lot and good luck. And hopefully we'll be out in your district and meeting with your future constituents.
We're looking forward to it.
Once again, thank you very much for listening. If you want to support the show, again, one of the best ways you can do it is by heading over to goodranchers.com with promo code Nick. You're going to get $15 off. You sign up for one of those subscriptions and you're going to get up to $480 of free meat with that subscription. You get to pick top sirloin, salmon, chicken breast, bacon. It is all up to you. Plus, if you're looking for gifts to get for the people that are impossible to shop for, goodranchers.com also has gift boxes. You need to act quick. This is part of their overall Black Friday special. So head on over to goodranchers.com, use promo code Nick, and once again, thank you for listening.